Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word this morning. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 28. The book of Acts, chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat." I could preach a while right there. That a viper came out because of the heat. Now, if you, those of you who don't know the story, in the book of Acts chapter 27, we know that Paul was being taken to Rome to stand trial. And against everything that was said, Paul said, "We shouldn't go on this trip." But they did not heed Paul's voice. They went ahead and went on, and they got shipwrecked. And when they were shipwrecked, they went on the island of Melita. And as they were there, Paul was gathering up sticks and to make a fire to get everybody warm. But when the fire was kindled, a viper came out because of the heat. Baby, let me tell you that as the fire of God in your life begins to heighten and begins to build, there's a devil loose and he's going to try to come out of the heat and fasten itself to you. The Bible said it fastened unto your hand. And I believe that this thing, this virus, is something that's trying to fasten itself to you. But I believe that instead of killing the church, that is going to make the church viable. Instead of hurting the church, it's going to make people realize that some have been asleep, but now they're about to be awakened because there's heat. Because the government can't help you. Health officials many times can't help you, but there is a help. He said, "I'm a very present help in the time of your trouble." So he knows how to come into where you are, no matter where you are at, and do a work in your life. The people of the island saw it hanging there, saw the viper hanging there from his hand, and they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. He is a murderer. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But I love this next verse. "But Paul shook off the snake. He shook the creature off into the fire, and it suffered him no harm." Now, one thing that I want to bring out to you, and I'm not even preaching yet, but the one thing that I want to say is that he shook the snake off in the fire. He didn't back away from the fire. He stayed there at the fire. And because of this thing coming into your life, whatever that snake is, whether it is the scare of the virus, whether there is the virus itself, whether it is financial, whatever it is, the devil is trying to make you back away from the fire. But don't you back away from the fire. You stay right there where the fire is, because the fire is what made it came out. So be right there by the fire and shake off those snakes right there where you are. And so but Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. Verse 6 says, "The people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead." There are people around you right now, maybe not around you right now because you're in your home, but there are people watching you that are waiting you to cave, that are waiting you to begin to say that God is not God. But I come by to tell you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not relinquished his hold on this world, on Citrus County, on Florida, on the U.S., and on this world. But there is a shaking going on. But if you will hold on to the unchanging hand of God, God will get you through this. God will bring you forth. God will do a work like never before. Matter of fact, I believe that we can come through this thing stronger than ever, because we're praying more than we've ever prayed, that we're believing more than we've ever believed. The devil meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for your good. Oh yeah, go ahead and karate chop somebody right next to you. So the people waited for him to swell up. There are people waiting for you to give up on your faith. It's not going to make me give up. It's going to make me hold on even tighter. Because if I'm going to hope against hope, Romans 4:18. I'm going to hope when there is no reason to hope. I'm believing. Verse number 6, people waited for him to swell up and drop dead. But when they had waited a long time, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and decided that he was a god. Oh, come on now. They changed their mind and believed that he was a god. Near the shore, near the neighborhood of that place where lands belonged to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Then all the other are, and it happened that the father of Publius was lying in a bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Hallelujah. After this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him to get cured. Come on, somebody. I don't know whether it's a better time than right now of where we are in America that we're waiting on a cure. Well, can I tell you, I know the cure, and I'm not being flippant. I thank God for the officials and for the medical, and I'm doing everything that we can. That's why we're not having this church full today. We're doing everything that we can to help put the fire and the spread out. But I come by to tell you, I still know who the cure is. His name is Jesus. He took the stripes on his back for our healing. So let me just tell you, he's not just the cure for this disease. He's the cure for every disease. He's the cure for your financial situation. He's the cure for your marital problems. He's the cure for your sin-sick soul. He still saves, sets free, and allows us to live the life that he wants us to. He said in Acts chapter 10, verse 10, my favorite verse, says, "But the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." Where am I at? Verse number 10. They also honored us with many marks of respect. And when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all we needed. One translation said, all that we needed for the trip. Can I just tell you, I'm believing God that God's going to supply everything that you need for this trip. God is going to supply everything you need for this trip. That don't mean that you can't do your part. You need to do everything that you know how to do. Ask God for wisdom. Do whatever you can do. But God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory. I'm glad that it's not according to my riches. It's not according to anybody else's riches. It's according to God's riches in glory. Now, God wants you to have everything that you need for this trip. But first, you may have to shake off a few snakes. Shake off the snake of fear. Shake off the snake of doubt. Shake off the snake of worry. Shake off the snake. Pastor, are you worried? I'm not worried. I'm concerned. But I'm not worried. Because I know in whose hand I hold. Come on, somebody. Everybody say, shake off the snake. Come on, say it louder at home. Say it so it makes your husband mad. Amen. All right. So Paul arrested, ignored in a hurricane, shipwreck, even bitten by a snake. Anytime the fire of God comes, the snakes will be driven into view. I heard somebody say, and I believe it too. Somebody said, well, this is going to separate some churches from other churches. Because you can't, you see, when you got seven people in the congregation, they don't hide you. When you worship, it can't hide you. You still need to preach the word of God. It'd be instant in season and out. You see, I can preach the same to four as I can to 400 or 4,000 because I know in whom I have believed, because this thing is something that's in me, and I'm not putting on no show for nobody, because I know, because if I don't worship, if I don't praise, if I don't dance, I might be depressed like somebody sitting at home, but I know in whom I have believed. His name is Jesus, and I'm going to keep him as the author and the finisher of my faith. Point number one, if you're taking notes, I think I have it on YouVersion also. You can go to YouVersion to grab them. But the point number one is, then came a viper. The enemy is not necessarily threatened by where you are. He's not necessarily threatened by where you are. He's afraid of where God wants to take you. He's afraid of where he wants to take you. If you ain't doing nothing for Jesus, if you're not doing anything for the kingdom, he might not be really afraid of you where you are. But everybody watching and listening to the sound of my voice, I don't even care if you're not saved. You got potential. You got a call on your life to help the kingdom of God. And so what is your potential? That's what the devil is scared of. He's just scared of what your potential is. He's just scared of you watching right now that you was drunk last night. He's scared that when you get saved, you're going to win all your friends to him. You're going to go back home to your family. You're going to be faithful to your spouse. You're going to treat your kids like the way they need to be treated. That's what he's afraid of. But let me tell you, your attack is in proportion to your potential. So if you're being attacked, it's because of the potential that God sees in you, or that the devil sees in you, because the devil don't ever want you to get there. He doesn't care if you start. He just don't want you to finish. But I've come by to tell somebody, you've tuned me in this morning so that I can tell you that there is a finish line, and you might not know the finish line, but God does, and the Holy Ghost will continue to work in your life until he gets everything that he placed in you, even from the foundation of the earth, until he pulls it out in the name of Jesus. If you're going through it right now, you know your potential is great. Just know that. See, think about these examples. How about in the garden when the devil came and talked to Adam? Well, he didn't talk to Adam. He talked to Eve. Eve listened. And then Adam didn't tell that stranger who was talking to his wife to get out. Woo! Somebody needs to tell the people talking to your spouse, shut up. What about Samson and Delilah? Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah one time too many. And because the devil knew the potential of Samson. Well, but Pastor, Adam, he failed. And Samson, he failed. Yes, he did. But they didn't stay a failure. They turned around and they got back right with God. Do you remember the end of the story of Samson? The Samson, he had grown old. He had lost vision, but he still had strength. And he spoke to the young man. He said, tell me. He said, put my hands where the pillars are. And with the strength of the old and the vision of the new, he pushed down and did more in his last act. He killed more Philistines in his latter days than he did his first. You still got time to turn it around, but you got to shake off a devil. You got to shake off a snake in order for you to do what God's called you to do. What about David and Bathsheba? David, man, he messed up. He when he should have been at war, he was on the back porch watching. And there was a naked woman on the back porch. And I'm sorry, ladies, but if there's a naked woman, we men just gonna look one time at least. It's like looking at a wreck. We just gonna look one time. It doesn't matter how good she look, how bad she look. We just gonna look because it's naked. Come on, somebody. Judge me if you want to. However, I'm just preaching truth to you. However, when he should have been doing what he was supposed to, which was at war. When you should be doing what you should be, what you should do, like having your family in at church this morning in your house. Instead, he was off doing something else and sin crept in, but he still turned around. How about Jesus? How about Jesus in the wilderness? The devil came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And he said, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? You see, you just because you're a good Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted, that you're not going to be attacked. But you got to learn like Paul did and shake off those snakes and shake off that devil and give the devil no due. Jesus didn't let the devil keep on talking. He said, for it is written, it is written, it is written. He didn't say, I heard mama say, I heard the preacher say. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread. It is written. You got to combat the enemy with the word of God. And anytime you are poised for the next level, beware of the viper. John 10:10, my favorite scripture. I've already quoted it once, but the Bible says, and the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know if you catch that, but check this out. Abundant life is written into the context as the thief. In the same context, it was written in. So there is a choice there. You got to choose whether you're going to live in life, whether you're going to live in fear, whether you're going to live in faith, whether you're going to live in life, or whether you're going to live in fear and doubt and death. The choice is yours. It is not my choice. It is your choice. I can't make that choice for you. I'm going to choose to live in faith. I'm going to choose to look on the brighter side. I'm going to choose to look to help my neighbor. I'm going to choose to help people who I can. I can't help the whole world, but I can help somebody. If I can only help one, that's what I'm going to do. That's being a Christian. That's being Jesus. Point number two is this. Point number two is this. You must recognize the snake. It'd be easy to recognize the devil if he came with a pitchfork and horns and a tail with red, being all red, but you can't do that. The snake is not, I want you to hear me, the snake is not another human being. It is not somebody. Now, that doesn't mean that the snake don't use other human beings. Ephesians 6 and 10 through 12, reading from the New American Standard Bible, says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full or the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Yes, Satan can use people. He can also use you. So make sure that you're not an instrument of destruction or an instrument of fear or an instrument of doubt. Make sure you're an instrument of faith. Satan is still the source. But here's, I got something else for you. He's also already defeated. Because here's what he said in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. Jesus took the venom, all the poison, everything the devil had to throw at him, and he still defeated him. And I've come by to tell you that Christ is our victor. Christ is my victor. That's how I can preach today. That's how I can worship today, because Christ is my victor. My hope is in Christ, and that's the only way I can go. Listen, something about snakes that is intimidating, even if they're not poisonous for most of us. Because, see, I say about snakes, any snake will make me almost hurt myself, whether they are poisonous or not. I'm not one of them that's going to reach down and grab a snake. Well, is it poisonous? I don't know. When I shot it, I wasn't checking. But there's three ways that snakes kill. Let me tell you what they are. One, number one, is they squeeze the life out of you. This snake of this virus, this snake of economic times, this snake of our system, it wants to squeeze the life out of you. And when that begins to happen, man, put on some praise and worship. Throw on another podcast. Throw on another video of us having church, because we've been doing this for a long time like this with it full. And so throw on something else and begin to encourage yourself. Build that fire of God, whether it's worship, music, whatever. Build that fire of God so you can shake off that snake, because the devil wants to squeeze the life out of you. That's a python or an anaconda. They want to squeeze the life of you. There's another one that strikes quickly with venom. That's the second one. That's the rattlesnake or a cottonmouth. And man, you've only got moments to get help. And if you don't, then you're in bad shape. But the devil's trying to either squeeze the life out of you, or all of a sudden, how many's ever been in a all of a sudden moment? That all of a sudden everything changed. Everything last Sunday, we were at, you could occupy at 250. And in 1 week's time, we went to this. In 1 week's time. You don't know what's going to happen. But here's what I can tell you. The same God that had Paul's back has your back. And then there's a third one. The third one is bite and chew, which is like a cobra, like what is believed to have bitten Saul. But however, Paul showed no fear. And here's key. And no reaction. He didn't react. See, we got too many people reacting instead of responding. If I'd have been Paul, that snake would have bit me. I probably would have ran. I ain't going to lie, man. But that ain't what happened. Paul just shook it off in the fire that it came back into. And the fire that it came out of was the fire that killed it. Come on, somebody. That'll preach right there. All right. Point number three. My wife's throwing something at me now. All right. Come on. I'm preaching good. How to shake off snakes. Number one, I got a few of these. Know your purpose. know you are on a mission from God, and hell can't stop you. Know that hell can't stop you. Acts 27, I made reference to it, but verses 23 and 27, here's what Paul said. Paul said, last night, an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who those are with you. See, the enemy usually lurks right where the fire is about to burn. Right before your promotion, the devil's trying to keep you from getting there. Right from your next level of you stepping to the next level of where God's taking you, the devil is lurking right there because he don't want you to rise up or step up or be whom God's called you to be. You need to recognize what the devil's doing, but you need to hear God. See, some of us can't do like Paul did because we don't have that relationship, but you can. You can have a relationship. I'm going to tell you right. I'm nervous about what's going on, but I've got a peace that surpasses all understanding because I know in whom I have believed. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Here's another way to shake snakes off. God will often help you by using that which is broken to help you survive. In chapter 27, the Bible says, and verse 44, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When it is all falling apart. Hear me, somebody. When your life is falling apart, when your world, some of you right now, your world is falling apart, find a plank and hang on to it. Find something to grab a hold of. Find something that will keep you afloat. I can tell you, his name is Jesus. He ain't going down. As a matter of fact, if you go down, he'll teach you how to breathe underwater. That's the kind of God that I serve. Either he'll get you to walk on top of it or breathe in the midst of it, because that's what Jesus did, or that's what God did for the three Hebrew boys. When the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, he didn't deliver them from the fire, but he made them fireproof that he could just walk around as they were in the furnace. That's where we need to be. Right? God had a purpose on that shore, and they didn't even know about it. Learn to simply brush off the viper or the sniper. Brush it off. Simple action, not panic. You don't need 42 rolls of toilet paper. Don't panic. You don't need all that. It's a respiratory situation. You don't need that. Don't panic. Be proactive, but not reactive. Don't give the enemy more than his due. All right, so learn to simply brush off the viper. Here comes another one. You ready? Don't listen to critics. I didn't say the government. I didn't say your pastor. I didn't say those who have authority over you. Listen to them. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We want to be good citizens. We're not in defiance. We're in compliance because we want to be good citizens and not spread this thing. All right, so critics added verbal poison to the snake's poison. What do you mean by that? The story we just read. Paul, it bit him, and then they said he must be a murderer. And he thought that he escaped the judgment of the sea, but the viper got him. Your critics are going to say, oh yeah, look, I ain't nothing to him. I thought there wasn't nothing to him. Don't listen to your critics. They called him a devil. They called Paul a devil and later called him a god when he didn't die. You know what I've learned about people? They fickle. You know what I learned about people? Brother Bob Lanier told me many years ago, he said, brother, people are funny, but not always in the ha-ha kind of way. And man, I never thought I would quote that man as much as I quote him. But people are fickle. People are funny. People have told me I was the best thing since peanut butter and sliced bread, and then they told me I was scum of the earth. I've learned to take my critics as long as the same thing with all of the accolades. I don't give much credence to any of that, because I'm not going to let one make me high and the other one make me low and be an emotional roller coaster. I know who I am. I know what God's called me to do. I know what He's done in my life, what He's doing through me. I know how to stay in my lane, and I'm not going to get out of things I don't know how to do. I'm just going to do what I know to do and believe God's going to do what He can do. You are not as bad as people think you are, and you're not as good as some people think you are. Paul stayed on task, and so do you. Which brings me to the last one. Stay on task. Stay on task. Come on, give me the musicians back. Stay on task. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What does that mean? Well, Paul was there. He didn't know it, but to minister to Publius. He was there to minister to him, and he just stayed on task. And Paul ministered and healed him and wound up ministering to the whole island. See, when they were being shipwrecked, I know nobody thought, well, praise God for this. When they were being shipwrecked, nobody said praise God for that. They were just saying they were going through the process. Nobody's right now saying, well, praise God, I'm quarantined. And unless you're not real smart. Well, I could use a few days off. No, you can't. You need to work. Nobody wants that. Nobody's Satan, but stay on task. What they thought was a hurricane, what they thought was a shipwreck or snake bite, or what we know as coronavirus or COVID-19, became a revival. And that's what I'm believing for your family. That's what I'm believing for Crystal River, Citrus County. That's what I'm believing for the state of Florida, America, the world. It's because now all of a sudden, there are people watching online that ain't never watched online before. There are people, welcome to the family. That's right, I'm glad to have you, man. And hey, it's going to be better. It's going to get better in a few weeks when we can come back together and we can hug and we can worship together. It's going to be a high time. And this is not going to be normal. This is just what we got to do to make it through. But there's coming a day that we'll be able to gather again and worship God like we used to. And I believe it's going to be better, because now you know, what if you couldn't go to church? What if you couldn't give God praise? What if you had to be in your home and be silent? I believe revival's coming. I believe revival's coming. The result, check this out, the result of shaking off the snake, Acts 28:10. As a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, people put on board all sorts of things that we would need for the trip. What is it that you need to shake off today? What is it that you need to shake off? Maybe it's the worry of this coronavirus. Maybe it's the worry of your finances. Maybe it's the worry of your marriage. Or maybe you've been hurt as a child. Or maybe you've been violated as a child. See, here's what I know, that God's hand is not shortened. Man, I feel the anointing right now. God's hand is not shortened. And He can reach right through that screen right now. And He can touch you. He can heal you. He can make you whole. Maybe it's a painful church memory. Maybe you've been hurt. I've talked to so many people who've been hurt in church. I might have hurt you. I don't know. If I did, forgive me. But don't let that, shake that snake off in the name of Jesus. Let me ask you. My question to you today is, what snake do you need to shake off? Maybe the snake of not knowing Jesus. Maybe you're sitting with family members, and your family members, there's somebody there that don't know Jesus. Right now, if you need Jesus, come on, just lift your hand. I see that hand. I see that. No, I don't really. But you can get saved right there where you're at in your home. Right around your family members, you can make it known. You can, and if you made that decision to give your heart to Christ, I'm going to lead you here in a moment. But go on our app and fill out our focus card and tell us that you got saved. That only goes to us pastors. We'll be the only ones that see that. And because we want to help you in your walk with Christ. If you want to give your heart to Christ, let me just lead you in it. pray this prayer with me right now. And the Bible said, if you believe, confess, and believe, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And be my Redeemer. Be my God. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you believe that and you feel comfortable, let us know on Facebook. Let us know on YouTube. Or fill out that focus card and let us know that you gave your heart to Christ. And everybody that's in your living room or whatever you might be, your own place of worship, I would ask you to lead your family in a time of prayer for this nation. Time of family. You might not be hurting, but there are other hurting families around you. Ask God, Lord, to open up my eyes so that I may see hurting around me. Ask God to open up your eyes so that you can see your neighbor. Do that right now. I'm going to lead us all. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is an unprecedented time that we're in. And even though it is a scary time, it's an exciting time. Because the church has to be the church. Lord, the building is closed, the gathering, but the church is alive and well because you are alive and well. And so today, God, I pray that you would help us to be Christians, that we look to our neighbor, that we help those who we can. Maybe those in our neighborhood who can't go out and shop for themselves because of their illness. Let us contact them. Let us help in anything that we can do to make it through this time. Lord, help us to be the church. I pray over every family. I pray for the healing of your family, the protection of your family. I pray Psalms 91. Listen, I just feel led to tell you this, especially you Christian homes. I would admonish you to take some oil and to go to your doors and anoint the doorpost like the children of Israel did. When the death angel was coming by, anoint your doorpost and say and pray Psalms 91 that this virus will pass by my house. It shall not come nigh my dwelling in the name of Jesus. Put it over your back door, your front door. Put it over your doors in the name of Jesus. I mark my house for the anointing and the protection of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.